Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Thank God he's our hope. I'm excited about the blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's coming any day now. I just believe that with all of my heart. Well, we've been going through the Ten Commandments on Sunday mornings, and we have approached commandment number four. Commandment number four is, it's unique. All the commandments are kind of unique. We have talked about how they teach respect, and I believe, and I think that you would agree with me that one of the reasons that there's little respect in our nation today, even around our world, is we've removed these teachings from our homes, from our public arenas, many from their churches. And we just need to get back to God's Word. Amen? And I believe these Ten Commandments have something for us today, and we've tried to show that as we've gone through each of the commandments, and we'll continue to do that as we go through them. We have to realize the commandments are for us, right? I mean, God gave them, but he gave them to us, for us. Anytime I keep a commandment, it doesn't make God any more holy. It helps me. That's right. Listen, when we do what God says to do, it's not like God benefits from it. We benefit from it. And it's the same with these commandments. When I look at these first four commandments, the first four are kind of Godward. It's God saying, listen, I want you to approach me a certain way. I want you to know me and approach me in a certain way. The first commandment, no other gods, none other gods before me. In other words, God only. Amen. Amen. And then he said, you know, that thou shalt not make any graven images and bow down unto them. God correctly, right? You worship God correctly. You approach God correctly. And then if you'll look down, it says in that third commandment, it talks about how that we are to approach God reverently and how that we are to not use his name in vain. And then it says here in this fourth commandment, it says that we are to remember the Sabbath day. Now, this commandment is a commandment that people have gotten all turned and twisted, and we have some folks, well, they met yesterday. And I'm not here to, what I'm here to do, I could literally, and it's not just me, there's a lot of teaching about the Sabbath day. I want to try to just simplify this just as simple as I can. I'm kind of a simple man. And I'm just going to simplify it with the help of God. I want to tell you some things about the Sabbath day. Now, there's no such thing as the Christian Sabbath. Now, I know people use that term, and you're mixing law and grace. And God doesn't mix law and grace. God doesn't, I'm going to say that again. God doesn't mix law and grace. Now, God uses law and grace, but he doesn't mix law and grace. And so this fourth commandment, which we're getting at, it's the final one that is kind of Godward. And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, on all these hang all the commandments. And so you've got the Godward, those first four. Now, after today, we'll get to those final six, and they're kind of manward. They're loving our neighbor. They're talking about how our relationship with other people. And I don't think it's a mistake that it's dealing with parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. It starts there, and then he begins to talk about how do we respect. We respect our parents. We respect people's property. Don't steal. We respect God's institution of marriage. Don't commit adultery. We respect people's life and the sanctity of life. Thou shalt not kill or do no murder. We respect people's property. Thou shalt not covet. So the commandments are about reverence. They're about respect. Now, here's something that we've from the Word of God, we've laid down these principles. They're facts. And it's that these commandments are for our home. It's for our homes. Brethren, our homes are in trouble. And we started in Mother's Day. We said we're going to go through Father's Day. And we'll probably go a little beyond that on Sunday morning. Now, I don't know about Sunday night. But we've tried to talk about the family, and I feel like these Ten Commandments will help us to get some things back together in our family. I hope that you will teach them in your home. Teach them to your children. Live them. When you read chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, that's exactly what Moses told the children of Israel to do. He said, I want you to take these and I want you to teach them to your sons and your son's son. You're going to a place there in Canaan. They do not know who I am. They have false gods. And brethren, we live in a nation that does not know God. Our nation worships false gods. That's right. Now, I love America, but America is steeped in idolatry. And we as Christians need to teach these in our homes. I can tell you right now, they're not going to get taught if we don't teach them. And it begins at home. And I pray to God that our churches will get back to teaching the commandments of the Lord, in particular these Ten Commandments. Now, I will say this fourth one. This fourth one, and I appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning, Pastor BJ. It was good stuff, and it kind of helps, it's going to help me to spring into some things that I want to say about the Sabbath day. What do you know about the Sabbath day? What do you know? Before I get started, I want to say this. If you will listen to me this morning, and I have no reason to believe you won't, the folks at Fellowship Baptist Church, I appreciate you. You like preaching and teaching, and we're not here for any other reason. That's right. Now, we get some side things. We get some good music, and we get some opportunity to give, and we get some opportunity to exhort and to encourage one another, and we get opportunities to fellowship. But we need preaching and teaching in our churches again, brethren. Amen. Amen. And we need to understand that the preaching and teaching of God's Word is paramount. It is important that we get to the teaching and the preaching of God's Word in our churches again. If you'll listen this morning, I'm going to give you some things that will really help your family. Really help your family. I'm concerned about our families, brethren. I'm concerned. And I don't mean just families that are not in church and do not know Jesus Christ. I'm talking about church families, Christian families that have gotten away and have veered and that have just drifted from the truths of God's Word. What is the Sabbath day? What does this commandment? We said when we talked about the commandments that there's the thou shalt, and that's just God saying, listen, help yourself to happiness, help yourself to health, help yourself to some good things. Thou shalt do some things. And then there's some thou shalt nots. And God said, don't hurt yourself, right? God's saying, don't hurt yourself. That's right. Don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. And there's both sides. We talked about the last time we were talking about the Ten Commandments. We talked about not using God's name in vanity. And so that means use it in victory. Don't use it this way. Use it this way, right? Well, what does this day, the Sabbath day, what does the Sabbath day mean? Well, there's many Sabbaths in the Scripture. And I think because there's many Sabbaths that are in the Scripture, that's what causes some confusion. I'm not going to be able to unravel all of that today. But with the help of the Lord, I want to lay out some simple, foundational truth from the Word of God that I hope will be a help to you. I've already said that every Sabbath is a Saturday, but every Saturday is not a Sabbath. I want you to get that in your brain and in your heart, all right? Every Sabbath was on Saturday, but not every Saturday is a Sabbath. Now, there's many Sabbaths in the Scripture, and I'm going to show you that in a moment. But there was this one here that God gave. It's God's Sabbath day. It's His Sabbath rest. The word Sabbath means to cease. It means to cease or desist. It's kind of like a musical rest. And so when God said, I want you to rest, I want you to take some time, and as we heard this morning in Sunday school, the first thing that God said, He said, I want you to take some time for me. I'm taking time for you. You take some time for me. Let's spend some time together. It's good for you to rest. It's good for me to rest. Rest is needed. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, come ye apart for a while and rest. You need rest. It's worth the time to sharpen the axe. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. You'll chop more wood with a sharp axe. I don't have time to sharpen the axe. You're going to wear yourself out. That's what you're going to do. You listening? And I'm afraid there's a lot of people going through life with a dull axe. And so I want to talk to you about three rests. Now, there's others, but I want to talk to you about three main rests that the Scripture teaches. There is creation rest. Pastor BJ talked about that this morning in our Sunday school class here in the sanctuary. That is found in Genesis chapter number 2. You can turn there if you would. In Genesis chapter number 2, we have the creation rest. This is the Sabbath of God. Genesis 2, would you find that, please? And I want to just go through these as briefly as I can and yet not lose the content of the truth that I want to give to you this morning. So we have the creation rest. In Genesis chapter number 2, thus the heavens and verse number 1 of the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he hath made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which God created and made. Now this is, I believe this is the creation Sabbath. This is the creation Sabbath. It's God's Sabbath. It's God's rest. It's God's time. Now, we heard in Sunday school, we know God doesn't get tired. Our God neither sleeps nor slumbers. He doesn't get weary. He wasn't tired. This was a time for emphasis. It was a time, as I believe that we heard in Sunday school this morning, for God to spend time with his newest creation, which was Adam, which was his son. It was God to spend that time in fellowship with man. And so God made this day that he and man could fellowship, and that man could renew, and man could restore, and man could be better in what he does, not just for himself, but for others and for God. And so we have the creation rest, and I trust that you'll remember that. Now turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter number 31. In Exodus chapter number 31, God makes a covenant with the country. God called out a man by the name of Abraham. His name was Abram. God changed his name eventually to Abraham. And God made a covenant with that country, with those people, with that nation, with those Israelites. And so we have the creation rest, all right? The creation rest. Don't forget that. And then we have this covenant rest. This covenant rest. And I want you to notice what the Scripture says in Exodus 31 about the covenant rest. And again, I'm not going to go into all the detail. Can I tell you before I get too much into this? This rest, the Pharisees took, and they added their own man-made laws, and they made this rest that God meant to be a blessing. And just like men, and it's all of us, brethren, just like men are prone to do, we take the blessing of God and we try to add our spin and our mix on it, and we make it a burden. We make it so burdensome. And so the Pharisees had made what God gave to be a blessing to his people, the nation of Israel, and they started adding law upon law upon law, even to the point to where they would follow Jesus around to see what he was going to do on the Sabbath, and his disciples, and they begin to critique and to criticize. And Jesus at one point said, you know, he said, you make none affect the word of God because of your tradition. You're just making things so burdensome and so absolutely, unequivocally impossible that men don't want to hear what you've got to say. Listen, I don't want to be that way. You don't want to be that way to where we begin to add to God's word. Listen, we want the pure, unadulterated word of God. That's what changes lives, brethren. That's what will get the job done. We don't need to add our spin to it. God doesn't need my help. Amen. God doesn't need your opinion to help men understand or to get men, quote unquote, in line. God has that power. God's word will do the job. Amen. And so here in Exodus 31, we'll begin our reading in verse number 13. Exodus 31, verse number 13. I hope you have turned there. And I want to give you this covenant rest that was for a nation, that was for a time. And he said in verse number 13, speak thou also unto, watch it, the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Why? Because God sanctified the Sabbath. That's right. And he said, because I want you to keep it, I am the Lord that sanctifieth you. And he said in verse number 14, you shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Now you say, well, I want to keep the Sabbath today, preacher. Well, wait a minute now. Do you know what that entails? A lot of folks trying to keep the Sabbath, they're chasing shadows. You need to get to Jesus, not some shadow. Amen. Now listen to me. I'm going to show you from the New Testament where these Sabbaths, watch what the scripture says now, verse number 14. Verse number 13, he said, I have given you verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. And he said, you shall keep the Sabbath, verse 14, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Watch this now, for everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. You don't want none of that, brother. You listening? So I'm going to keep the Sabbath. Well, I'm going to put myself under the Sabbath rule, under the Sabbath law. You don't want any of that, brother. God said, if you break my Sabbath, I'm going to break you. And he said, you'll be put to death, and whosoever, verse number 14, doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done. By the way, you can get it done in six. You can get more done in six with God's help than you can in seven without it. Amen. Amen. You'll have more money to spend by giving God his portion than you taking God's portion and thinking you'll have more. That's right. Little as much when God is in it, brethren. God will give you more. And when we learn that, it'll be to our benefit. And so the scripture says in verse number 15, 6 days may work be done, but in the Sabbath, it's a Sabbath of rest. Now I told you that every one of these commandments had a flip side. There's a positive and a negative. Now here God is saying, I want you to rest. I want you to rest. Now, I realize the day that we live in, you don't have to tell a lot of folks to rest. They won't even work. Somebody say amen. Well, a lot of folks won't even work. Well, God's got a remedy for that. You get hungry enough, you'll go to work. Somebody say amen with me. That's right. Now, if you can't work, I believe it's the brethren's place. If you're a brother, I believe it's our place to help you out. But now, if you won't work, you get hungry enough, you will. That's the word of God. And so he said right here, he said, there's rest, but he said, you know what? Work's good for you, but so is rest. I'm going to say that one more time. Work's good for you. You can say amen. Amen. But you know what rest is too? Rest is good for you. You don't need to rest all the time, and you don't need to work all the time. See, there's a balance in life. We're going to be talking about that in tonight's service. There's a balance that God expects us to keep. There's work and there's rest. There's the body, but there's the spirit and the soul too. That's right. There's worship and there's service. See, God is a God of balance. And the older I get, the more I realize how important balance is in life. And the more you realize how important balance is in your life, especially in spiritual things, the more God can use you in his work. And so he said in verse number 15, he said, I don't want any work to be done. It's holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. I'm telling you what the book said. The Sabbath's not for the church. That's right. The children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Look at verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. All right. So we have creation Sabbath. Now there's many Sabbaths. I'm just going to give you these to break it down. There's God's rest. Now, God's rest got interrupted, and we're going to talk about that. It did. Sin interrupted God's rest. And now God's going to work in his son. And his son had a work to do. And he finished his rest. Did you know that? He said, it's finished. He finished his work, I should say. And now the third person of the Godhead is going to work, the Holy Spirit. He's still at work. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches, brethren. We get mixed up on the Sabbath day. We have folks saying, well, we ought to worship on Saturday. Well, we ought to stop about sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. Well, it's Sunday that we ought to do this and that. Well, you know, we ought not, and there's all these rules and regulations that are man-made. I'm telling you what the Bible says. There is a creation rest. Then there is a covenant rest. I'm not part of that covenant. I'm part of a new covenant. I'm part of a transitional covenant that is transition. I no longer find my rest on a day. I find my rest in a person. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest, he said. Thank God for the rest that is in Jesus. And that's our third Sabbath. It's a Calvary Sabbath. And I want you to turn to some scripture with me on this one, okay? I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Now, when you find your place there, turn to John chapter number 19. So, Jesus came, and Jesus was teaching when he was walking this earth, and he said, now listen, I don't want you to, that because the Pharisees and the scribes and the crowds, the Jews, they got really nervous. Now listen carefully. They got really nervous, and they said, oh, this man has come to destroy the law. He's come to change things. And he said, listen, I have not come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill it. Right? Jesus didn't come to destroy. He came to fulfill. And so he is the fulfillment of these laws and these commandments. And so the scripture says, let me get there. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now you know what that means? That means that after he finished his creative work, he had a Sabbath. Now Jesus went to work, and he went to work on a creation. But his is a new creation. His is producing new creatures. I'm one of them. You are too if you're saved. And so Jesus, after he finished his work, the Bible says that he sat down on the right hand of God the Father. That's right. Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, to the Jewish people, this was something that just absolutely made their minds spin, because there were no chairs. Listen, there was no chair for the priest in the temple, in the tabernacle, because their work was continual. It was never done. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Why? He said, it's finished. When he was on the cross, he had told the Jews, he had said, I've come to do a work, and I must do the work that God has sent me here to do. I must do the work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus said, I have a work to do. Can I tell you, Jesus finished that work? And can I tell you that when he finished that work, he cried on the cross, it is finished, which means paid in full, amen. Paid in full. And now when you come to Christ, you who are in bondage, that's why when we go back to Deuteronomy in just a few moments, we'll see that Moses reminded them, you had no rest. God gave you a rest. You're in bondage. You were servants. You had taskmasters. You were weary. You were enslaved. You had no peace. And he said, but I've given you a rest. Can I tell you, that's exactly where we were. When Jesus found us and he saved us, and when we got salvation, we were redeemed, we were delivered, and now we have rest. Rest in our soul. I want you to turn, if you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. When you get saved, you're a new creation, you're a new creature. That's the only way you can become a new creature. That's the only way, is to get saved. In Christ. It's in him. That's where the rest is. Listen, men without Christ, people without Jesus are just running to and fro, weary, worn, laboring, heavy laden. But when you come to Christ, He gives you rest. Do you know that rest? Oh, I pray that you do. That's Calvary rest, brethren. That's Calvary rest. Now, I want to read something to you. I want to read something that I found. What's the difference between covenant Sabbath and Calvary Sabbath? Listen, the covenant Sabbath speaks of the finished work of creation. Calvary Sabbath speaks of the finished work of redemption. The covenant Sabbath speaks of natural life. Calvary Sabbath speaks of supernatural life. The covenant Sabbath speaks of life in Adam. Calvary Sabbath speaks of life in Christ. The covenant Sabbath speaks of the work of God's hand. Calvary Sabbath speaks of the work of God's heart. The covenant Sabbath speaks of God's power. Calvary Sabbath speaks of God's grace. The covenant Sabbath is given to Israel. Calvary Sabbath is given to the church. The covenant Sabbath is old covenant law. Calvary Sabbath is new covenant love. Aren't you glad that we're not under the old? We're under the new. We're under the new. Now, there's been a transition. We are meeting here on the first day of the week. I want to read you what the scripture says about the first day of the week. Not what some author of some book, not what some man or some woman, not what some professor or some theologian has said. I want to read you what the Word of God says. All right? Let's see. Just write these scriptures down, and I'll not share each one of them with you, but I just want to give you some scripture and some text. All right? Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 9. The scripture says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week." Amen. There's a transition happening here. Do you feel it? You feel what's happening? There's a transition happening here. The first day. It's no longer the seventh day. It's the first day. Notice what the scripture says in Mark chapter 16, verse 11 and 12. Jesus met with his disciples after his resurrection on the first day of the week. Jesus met with them 8 days later in John chapter number 20. Write it down, verse 19 and 20. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." They were commissioned to preach the gospel on the first day of the week. That's John chapter number 20, verse 21. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so sent I you." The Holy Spirit was imparted to them upon the first day of the week. That's John chapter 20, verse number 22. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And this was the first day of the week." The Bible says that the church was born on the first day of the week. The day of Pentecost was on the first day of the week. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. The book of the Revelation was given the first day of the week. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 10. John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." The early church met for worship upon the first day of the week. Write it down. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 7. "And upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." That is Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. They received offerings upon the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him." It's the first day of the week, brethren. It's the Lord's day. That's the day that God calls unto you and I to spend time with him, to worship with him. How can we make this day, the first day, the best day? How can we do that? How are we to honor what God has said in the old covenant? How are we to honor that in our day? Are we just to go about business as usual? What's the Bible say that you and I as believers are to do on this day? What's the Word of God say? I can't tell you over the years how many times people have come to me and said, Pastor, is it okay if I go to a ball game on Sunday? Is it okay if I watch football on Sunday? Maybe NASCAR racing on Sunday? Is it okay if my son has a T-ball game on Sunday between church services? Right? Those are good questions, aren't they? But I'm not the man to ask. Why? It's not my day. It's the Lord's day. You need to ask Him. Ask Him. Ask the Lord. How can I honor You? How can I glorify You on Your day, Lord? I want to honor You. You say, well, preacher, every day is the Lord's day. Oh, but listen, this is a special day. This is the first day of the week. I want to give you three words, and I hope you'll listen carefully. Now listen, we have so taken from God's day. Did you know the old timers, the first church, they called it the Lord's day, the first day of the week. And then it got called meeting day or church day, and I'm okay with that, right? Yeah. And then it's called Sunday. And now it's just the weekend. It's just a weekend. You see how far removed we are from really giving honor? This is a special day, and you realize that you're here. But we're not here just to check a box. We're not, brethren. We're not here just to check a box or fulfill a duty. We're here because we desire to acknowledge the God of heaven. And we want to worship Him. And we want to praise Him. And we want Him to know, God, You mean something to me. You're worth it. Is it worth it to you? Was it worth it to you to get up this morning a little earlier? Was it worth it to you to do the things that you had to go through to get your children ready? Listen, I haven't forgotten these things, okay? I mean, some of you have small children. Getting them ready for school is one thing, but getting them ready for Sunday school, that's a whole nother animal. Say amen with me, folks. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, listen, it's just like anything that could go wrong will. The devil's fighting you. He is just trying everything he can to get you and I get us agitated and irritated and get us in a foul mood and in a wrong spirit. Why? It's the Lord's day. It's a day of worship. It's a day when we're to rest and restore and renew. It's a day when we're to honor. I want to give you three words that I really believe if you'll incorporate these three words into your first day, they'll make a difference in your life. Number one, holy. Make the first day a holy day. Number two, healthy. Make it a healthy day. And number three, happy. You know, Sundays ought to be the happiest day. The first day ought to be the happiest day of all. Amen. It ought to be. Amen. I like that. Everybody should have said amen. Amen. It ought to be the happiest day of them all. But if we're not careful, we'll fuss and fight. We'll beat each other's throat. There'll be family wars and rumors of wars. I mean, brother, I'm telling you. It's the Lord's day. I think that the world has just masked what this day is. Well, you tell somebody it's the Lord's day and they'll look at you kind of strange, but you tell them it's Easter and they'll get all dressed up and ask you where's the nearest church. Every Sunday's Easter. Every Lord's day is Easter. Every Lord's day is a day that we celebrate that Jesus came out of the grave. Amen. Don't just save that for one and a year. Let's talk about these three and then I'll be done this morning, okay? I'm just going to give you some thoughts about the first day. The first day. Make it a holy day. Make church attendance a priority. We've been commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Amen. You say, well, preacher, we're here. I know. But don't forget it. Don't forget it. We all know that there's seats missing in churches across our country and around the world by people that have fallen off. People who no longer regard this day as important. It's not important to them. Can I tell you, this day, this place is very, very important. You teach your children, don't you forget now. Don't you forget what God said do with these commandments as we turn back to Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Turn back there if you would. Don't you forget what God said do with these commandments now. He said, you teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. He said, fathers, there's little eyes watching you. I know this is Father's Day, but this is the Lord's Day. But I'm going to say something to the fathers. There's little eyes watching you and me. There's little ears listening to you and me. There's little hearts learning from you and me. Teach them the right thing. Amen. Church attendance is a priority. More important is worship on Sunday than work on Monday. Teach them that. Amen. 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 Well, I tell you, we insult God. So I've never insulted God. Well, if you've ever laid out of church because you were tired and you didn't call in on Monday and say, hey, not going to be in today. What's wrong? You sick? No, I'm tired. I don't know if that's going to fly where you were. I tell you what, such a nice day out today. I think we're just going to have a picnic instead of be at church. Would you try that on Monday? You say, would you move on from that preacher and go to the next point? Make it a holy day. Let's teach our children church is important. If it's not important to us, it's not going to be important to them. If we come to church and don't sing, they're not going to come to church and sing. Open up that hymn book and sing with all you got. You say, well, I don't have a good voice. Well, make a joyful noise. Amen. Sing with all you've got. Take notes. Listen to the preacher. Don't fall asleep. You say, well, I get tired sometimes. You preach too long. Well, tap the person next to you and say, well, if you see me falling asleep, slap me in the face. Make it a holy day. Start on Saturday. Sharon and I, we tried with God's help to make Sundays a special day. The Lord's Day. We didn't wait till Sunday morning to get ready. Don't you wait till Sunday. You won't get, listen, that's why there's a lot of arguments in your home. I'm not, you say, no, wait a minute now. You're meddling now. Well, listen, I'm just trying to help you. Lay your clothes out on Saturday night. Know what you're going to wear. Lay your children's clothes out. That's right. Call your children together. Get their offerings up. You give your children allowance. Say, hey, it's time to get your offering in. Amen. Time to put your offering in. Make your tithe check out on Saturday night. Have prayer for your pastor. Have prayer for your Sunday school teacher. Have prayer for those in the singing ministry. Amen. Get your mind geared up. You've been out rubbing shoulders with this old world all week. You need to get focused. You don't come into the church like a whirling dervish and sit down and say, now God bless me. That's why a lot of folks are not getting blessed. Make it a holy day. Start preparing. Have something special. You could ask any one of my children. I guarantee it. You could ask them, what was special about Sunday morning breakfast? Every one of them could tell you. Blueberry muffins. Amen. 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 I knew I'd get some of you. Amen. Sprinkle some of that streusel on top. Woo! Blueberry muffins. Well, we're going to have those on Wednesday. No, we're not. Not at the Freeman residence. That's Sunday morning breakfast. That's special. We're going to put some real blueberries in there. That's right. Sunday dinner. That's right. We're not going to be eating sandwiches on Sunday. We're going all out. We're going to do what we can to make Sunday a special day. It's the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day. Get ready for it. Fathers, can I just speak to you just for a second? Help your wife on Sunday morning get the kids ready. That's right. Pull the family together and say, now we're going to worship. Make it holy, all right? Make it holy. God will honor that. Put an emphasis on Sunday. Put an emphasis on church attendance. That's right. Put an emphasis on it. If you don't take it serious, they're not going to take it serious. I mean your children. They're watching us. Number two, make it healthy. You say, well, how am I going to make it healthy if you keep feeding them blueberry muffins? Blueberries got some kind of oxidizing something in it. Somebody help me. Amen. Amen. Blueberry got something in it to help you. Amen. Make it a healthy day. You know, I know that us in ministry, we probably do a little more than what some others may do. But get you some rest. I have people ask me often, did you get a nap today? I rarely take a nap on the Lord's Day. But I do lay down or I rest my mind. I'll listen to some soothing music or I'll read a book. I just relax. Most Sundays, I just relax. I think it's good to get some relaxation. I think it's refreshing. And I would encourage you to do the same. You say, well, I like to minister to people on the Lord's Day. Well, you do whatever God lays on your heart. But at the age I'm at, I got to tell you right now, I need all the rest I can get on the Lord's Day. All right? And some of you do too. And so make it healthy. And I'm not going to go into great detail here, but, you know, just try not to schedule work and things that need to be done. It's not good. You say, well, preacher, the ox keeps falling in the ditch. I heard one man say, well, fill the ditch up. And he said, well, what if that doesn't work? He said, well, then shoot the ox. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. It's a day of rest and relaxation and restoration. We need it, brethren. God gave it to us because we need it. Over and over again, it's been proven that man needs a time of relaxation and shutdown to clear himself and to reset himself. And so make it healthy. I've said it last week. I'm going to say it again. Those who burn the candle at both ends are not as bright as they think they are. Get you some rest. It's the Lord's Day. And then finally, not only make it a holy day, build your family and your life around God's house, around God's word, around God's ministry. I'll never forget, and I'm about through, but I want you to hear this. This was a turning point in my life. I believe every person, every family has turning points. Now, God had saved me and God had called me to preach. And I was pastoring a little church up in northern Greenville County. And God was blessing. I mean, things were happening. People were getting saved. We were in the spirit of revival. And I remember there was this man that God had sent to the church. He was actually a former pastor of the church. And he was afraid to come because he thought, well, you know, maybe I wouldn't appreciate that. So I went to visit him and his family. It was a man and his wife. He had 7 children. So I went to visit him, and we talked a little bit. And he said, well, I just didn't know how you'd feel about my family and I attending church there. And I said, brother, come on. You know, you can't be jealous. And you're not going to do a whole lot for God with a jealous spirit, with envy, with the spirit of that competitive, you know, I'm against you. We're on the same team. You know, you bring yourself under the authority that God's placed over you and we'll be okay. If you don't, well, then we'll deal with that. So he came and I watched his family and I thought, wow, you know, Sharon and I did not have children. And then she was pregnant with Meredith. And I remember calling him in my office one day and I said, brother, I'm going to ask you a personal question. I've watched your children. I want my children to be like your children. Respectful, courteous, well-mannered, spiritually minded. What are you doing? He said, pastor, we have family devotions every night. He said, you asked me, I'm going to tell you. He said, I wouldn't have told you if you didn't ask me. He said, we have family devotions every night. Every night I call my family together. We read scripture and have prayer. We recognize God every day of our life. I built my family around the church, pastor. That was number two. I built my family around the church. If there's something going on at the church, and he called the name of the family, we'll be there. We pray for the church. We pray for the church, and we involve ourselves. Attend church, we involve ourselves in the church. I said, okay. From that day, I began to pray, God, with your help. I don't know how to do this thing called parenting. With your help, I want to do that. Not because he'd done it, because I've seen the results of what he's doing. I want to do it. God, would you help me to do that? And we've tried to do that. We've tried to do that. Can I ask you? You say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, listen. Find you something that works for you that's going to help you get close to God. Please, please. And make the Lord's day a holy day. Make it a healthy day. Get you a little rest. Right? And then make it a happy day. Make it a happy day. When you go home today, don't say, boy, I tell you, didn't the preacher, that message just wasn't as good as it should have been. I think I could have done better. Well, you probably could have. I think he preached too long. Well, I may have. You could find 1,000 negative things to say about the church service today. But if you're doing it in front of your children and your grandchildren, all you're doing is just driving one wedge between them and God and God's will at a time. So go ahead if that's what you want to do. Now, I can't stop you, but I'm here to tell you there's a price to pay for not making the Lord's Day a happy day. Speak good words. Find something positive to say. Boy, wasn't that song a blessing? Amen. Wasn't it good to see Miss Barbara's mom in church this morning? Yeah. Hey, I noticed that we had some of those folks from the camp. I'm glad that there's some young people that still want to serve God and help out in the camp. Wasn't it good to see them in the church service this morning? You can always find something positive and good. You don't have to make it up. It's there. It's there. Just make a choice that that's what you're going to zero in on. Make it a happy day. Build good, happy memories. When you look back over the span of time in your life, don't look back to fussing and fighting and dad out and, you know, mom trying to get herself together and kids hanging over and dad out in the car. Beep, beep. Come on, woman, we're going to be late. You don't want your family to remember that stuff. You know? Let's stand to our feet. Number one. Say, preacher, I thought you was going to give us a set of rules and regulations for the Christian Sabbath. There is no Christian Sabbath. Our rest is in Jesus. All right? But there is a Lord's Day. And it's the first day. And we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We need to put Him first in all that we do. And I believe if you start your week with Him, it's kind of like when you bring Him the first fruits of your increase. I just believe that's acknowledging, God, all that I have is yours, but I'm bringing this to you. It's the same when you start your week with Him. God, every day's your day, but I'm starting this one with you. Amen. Make it a holy day. Place a priority on church and Sunday school. Get your children under the teaching of a good Bible teacher. Be a part of a good Bible-believing church. Make it a healthy day. Get you some rest. Read you a book or just relax your mind. Put some headphones on, some earbuds in, and just listen to some soothing, relaxing music. Maybe some good gospel music. And then make it a happy day. There's a lot you could find wrong with Fellowship Baptist Church and certainly with me as the pastor. But you know, Fellowship Baptist Church has some good too. And if you look, you can see it. And that's what we ought to focus on. There's a time and a place to bring out the shortcomings and the needs and the things we need to correct. But don't make it around your table this evening. Go to the appropriate person at the appropriate time with the appropriate spirit, and God will honor that. Let's bow our heads together.